The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
Last week, Pastor Rick was talking to us about how do you know that you're loved? And he made the case for saying that you know that you're loved because there is love in preparation. And that's really stuck with me all week. God does a lot of preparing. And sometimes we get impatient because we can't necessarily see where he is at work preparing. But as Michael said earlier, we go through these struggles, and God only knows why, but only God can use them. And he's preparing us for something. I want to make the case today for saying that there is joy in the transmission of story. Think about that just for a minute. There's joy inside story. But for a minute, I want to take you to the opposite of joy and go to despair, because I think there are some things about that process and the transmission of story that does not result in joy, but rather in despair, that we can apply once we turn the model upside down. Let me tell you a story and show you what I mean. Have you ever been the person who had to give bad news to somebody? You probably have. I know pastors do that a lot, surgeons, medical personnel. For a while, I was a police chaplain, and I tended to get used for delivering bad news because the police officers would rather not deal with that part of things. If you're on the scene of a domestic violence situation or a death, they've got so many other things to work with, and it's nice to have a pastor type there. But that means you have to get used to sharing bad news. Maybe you've had to do that yourself, but I'll tell you one that really sticks with me. Some years ago, I was still living at home, I don't remember exactly when, but I got a call from my Uncle Gene, and Mom and Dad were gone. It was a Wednesday night, I think they were probably at Bible study at church. And Uncle Gene was barely recognizable because he was sobbing. He was out of control, crying. And I said, "What's wrong, Uncle Gene?" And he said, "Kent is dead." Kent was his son, my father's nephew, and my cousin. And he said, "Can I talk to Jack?" And I said, "Oh, they're not here, but let me see if I can find them." Now, this was in the day before cell phones and that kind of thing, so I didn't exactly know where they were. But I thought, okay, maybe they're at church. And I went down to the driveway to get in the car. And as I was about to get in my car, I saw them coming up the hill. And I could tell from a distance that they were talking and laughing and having a good time. And in that moment, I knew I was about to crush him. And it was a dreadful thing. Time seemed to slow down. I see them coming up the road, and then the gravel crunching under the tires up the driveway. Our driveway was gravel, and I still remember the sound of them coming up the driveway. And I thought to myself, "Oh, I wished I didn't have to give this news. It's going to devastate him." They got out of the car, and I said, "Dad?" And he said, "Hey, bud," in his usual sort of way. And I said, "I wished I didn't have to tell you this." "What is it?" I said, "Your brother called. Kent's dead." And my father went from jovial, lighthearted guy to devastation in about 2 nanoseconds. And I had to be the guy to give him that news. And he began to pace around, and he himself started to sob. And it was a horrible thing to have to share that piece of bad news. And as I was thinking about joy in the transmission of story, for some reason my mind went to that story, where I had to be the bearer of bad news. Okay, how did I feel? Well, I didn't want to be the one to say it. I remember seeing the recipient of the story coming from a long distance and then crunching up the driveway and then getting out of the car and me thinking, I don't want to say this, because I knew that it was going to bring both of us great sorrow, especially my dad. Now, if you would, turn that story on its head. And let's think about the transmission of story that results not in despair, but in joy. So turn that around for just a second. Have you ever been in a place where you got to tell somebody something that was really going to make their day? And you were so excited to tell it. And you knew that it was going to bring not only them joy, but you some too. So instead of dreading to tell the story, you were excited to tell the story. Instead of time slowing down, maybe it sped up a bit. or at least the excitement made it feel that way. And as you saw them coming from a distance, instead of thinking this is going to be awful, you're almost giddy. You can't wait to let the cat out of the bag. And when you tell them the story, when you give them the big story, when you give them the news, they don't go from happy to despair in 2 nanoseconds. They go from happy to joyful in 2 nanoseconds. Do you have such a story? Does anybody have a similar something where you were telling somebody a great news story? I think that you probably have one, if you'll think about it. And I want you to think about it really hard today. We talk a lot about the transmission of story at Epiclesis a lot, because one of the things that makes us Ancient Future is that we emphasize God's big story and telling the whole story of God, hopefully as much of it as we possibly can, every time we gather in worship especially. There's something remarkable about telling and hearing God's story. I want you to think about that just for a second, and most especially handing down God's story. Listen to this word from Athanasius. You remember Athanasius was the church father, North Africa, and he was present at the Council of Nicaea, so 4th century. Athanasius says, "What the apostles received, they passed on without change, so that the doctrine of the mysteries," that is to say, he was talking about the sacraments, "so that the doctrine of the mysteries and Christ would remain correct." Listen to this. "The divine word, the Son of God, wants us to be their disciples. It is appropriate for them to be our teachers, and it is necessary for us to submit to their teaching alone. Only from them and from those who have faithfully taught their doctrine do we get," as Paul writes, quote, "faithful words worthy of complete acceptance." So Athanasius is saying that we are to be disciples of those who have been transmitting the story, and then we are also supposed to be transmitters of the story. And I want to make the case today for saying that there is joy in the story and in the transmission of the story. Just as there was despair in the story that I had to tell my father, when you turn that upside down and we're talking about the transmission of God's story, there is innate, can I use that word? There is baked in joy that will be inside that story. This week, I heard God's story, and it made me hear some things with fresh ears and see things in the text that I hadn't seen before. Let me tell you what it was. Last year, about this time, there was a special that you could buy the NIV audio Bible collection. It was super cheap, and it has a cast of all kinds of famous narrators and actors and sound effects and the whole thing. So this week I was on the road some, and so I put in Luke 1 and just started listening. And there was music and sound effects. It was really great. I'll show it to you. You should try it. And then the narrator just begins simply and profoundly reading the text. Now, embedded in the text are different voices, and so there'll be a different character actor, voice actor, to do that different part. But I heard some things as I listened to Luke 1 that I hadn't, quote, seen before. Isn't that interesting, by the way? Do you ever see things that you're hearing? And do you ever hear things that you're seeing? There's joy in that. Look with me at the text of Luke 1, please, and see if you find a theme of the joy that is inherent, embedded, innate in the telling of God's story. I want you to go to Luke 1. We're going to listen all the way up to Mary's song and then beyond just a little bit. Again, you're listening for elements that have to do with telling, hearing, speaking, showing God's big story, the transmission of story. Ready? "Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word." By the way, that's what Athanasius is talking about. Those were the apostles. They're the faithful ones. They handed it down so we can be sure that the doctrine is correct. Verse number 3, therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. Let me just pause right there for a minute. Maybe we'll take these as we go along. What do you see there about the transmission of story? What do you see? What's he doing? He's investigated these things. Luke himself is not necessarily an eyewitness. He's not one of the disciples, but he's investigated. And what's he doing? He's drawing up an account. He's writing an account. And he's writing it to a particular person. Theophilus. Theophilus means one who loves God. He's writing up an account. He's transmitting the story. Why? So that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. Okay, here we go. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron, and both of them were upright in the sight of the Lord, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. Isn't it interesting that Luke doesn't start smack dab with the coming of Jesus, but goes a little bit before that to tell the story and to make some connections in his account that might not have been made otherwise. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. What are the assembled worshipers doing? What is praying? What are they doing? They're talking to God, and presumably God is talking to them. There's some storytelling going on, if I can stretch the metaphor just a little bit. We're talking to God. We're talking about God. We're talking about His attributes. God is talking with us about Himself. Then an angel, watch this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. The angel's about to say something. The angel's about to give some news. Zechariah's minding his own business. Well, actually, he's minding the Lord's business. He's a priest. He is at work. And this angel shows up to transmit some story. Have you ever thought about it in those terms before? But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you." There's some gadate for us today. The angel is bringing a story not of despair, but of joy. You're going to have a son. He will be a joy and delight to you. He will be great in the sight of the Lord. He's never to take wine or other fermented drink. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from birth. And many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said, "That sounds great. Let's get to it." That's not what Zechariah said. He said, how will I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years. And the angel Gabriel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and I have been sent to," what? "Speak to you and to tell you the good news." Listen, there's a good lesson right there. There's joy in the transmission of the story from the angel to Zechariah. Zechariah is not ready to believe it or receive it. And so what was meant for joy has now turned in another direction, at least for a little while. Look at verse 20. "And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." Isn't that interesting? The angel showed up to transmit story. There was joy inherent in the story. It was It was wired in there. But Zechariah wasn't able to receive it, wouldn't receive it, couldn't believe it, and now his own ability to communicate is hampered. Isn't that interesting? Apply that to you. Apply that to you. Is there a transmission of story that is being brought to you or that you are to share, but you're going to miss it because you don't believe or you don't see it? It could be that your own ability to transmit story will be hampered. I don't know. Look at verse 21. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he had stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. Don't pass by that verse too quickly. When the priest comes out of the temple and comes forth to the people who have been waiting and praying and worshiping, what is it that the priest says? There is a blessing. There is a benediction. It's called the Aaronic blessing. The Lord bless you, keep you. So the priest comes out and gives this blessing and says, your sins are forgiven. Think about that just for a second. Zechariah would not receive the story. His own ability to transmit the story is hindered. And now he can't speak that blessing to the people. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When the time of his service was completed, he returned home, and after this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. And she says, the Lord has done this for me. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. Look what happens. Zechariah's wife receives the story. There's joy in the transmission of that story, and she erupts in joy and gives praise to God. Now we switch to Mary. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel, here goes Gabriel again, to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. So here's the angel Gabriel going to share a story of great joy. Have you ever thought about this particular passage in terms of the transmission of story? The angel has a story to tell. Let's see what Mary does with it. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. She's not disbelieving, but she's asking a legitimate question. In wonder, in awe, she asks how it can be, and the angel answers her. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God, and even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. Can I get an amen up in here this morning? I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. And the angel left her. A messenger from God comes to her to bring a story. He transmits that story, and somehow, miracle of miracles, there's joy embedded in the transmission of story. There's joy in that. It is as if, and I haven't thought through the theological implications of this, but it is if the transmission of the story is of the same substance as joy. There's joy in it. Mary receives it. Look what she does. At that time, verse 39, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country. Think about that just for a second. Have you ever thought about that phrase in the context of the transmission of story. She's heard a marvelous story. She's filled with joy. And now she has to get up and go and transmit the story. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Mary goes to tell the story. The baby receives the story. He hears her voice. He tells part of the story by leaping in Elizabeth's womb. It's almost as if there's a conversation going on about 12 different levels as the story is being repeated and confirmed and reaffirmed. In a loud voice, now Elizabeth exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Isn't that interesting? The angel Gabriel showed up and shared a story. Mary believed it, and she got up to go and tell the story. And now the baby in Elizabeth's womb leaps for joy. And now Elizabeth herself is repeating the story. The next few verses you know as the Magnificat. Time won't allow to go through it, but it's all about Mary's bubbling over with joy because of the story she has received. We should circle back just for a moment and see what happens to Zechariah, because there's more story. Verse 57, when it came time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her what? Joy. The birth of a baby came about as the transmission of God's story, and in it, embedded in it, of the same substance, I don't know. I'm going to have to think through that. There is joy. And now that story is being promulgated to all of the neighbors who share the joy. Look at this little footnote. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, No. He's to be called John. And they said to her, hang on. That's my translation. I don't know what the Greek is for hang on. Hang on. There is no one among your relatives who has that name. Watch this. Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. That's interesting to me, because he didn't say he was deaf. He said he couldn't speak. They made signs to Zechariah to find out what he would like to name the child. And he asked for what? A writing tablet. He needs to communicate. He needs to communicate the story. And to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue was loosed, and he began to what? Speak, praising God. The neighbors were all filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were what? Talking about these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. Listen, there's joy in the transmission of story. And the beautiful thing about telling God's story is that the joy keeps moving along, and it spreads, and it has repercussions that we can't possibly imagine. You and I are tasked with telling God's story. There's joy in it. When you see the person coming up the street, when you see them moving up the driveway and you hear the gravel crunching under the tires, you don't have to be sad that you're going to tell them bad news. Tell them the story of God. That's it. It's that simple. It's that profound. And there's joy in it. The story today ended with somebody writing something down and being filled with joy. The story began in the same way. Go back just for a moment to Luke 1:1. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you. Listen. Listen to the words of Ambrose about this very passage. So the gospel written to Theophilus, that is, to him who God loves, is also written to you. For if you love God, this was written to you. If it was written to you, discharge the duty of an evangelist. Diligently preserve the pledge of a friend in the secrets of the Spirit. There's joy in the transmission of story. On this Gaudete Sunday, be sent forth from this place today with joy and find somebody to transmit the big story of God. And you just watch what joyful things happen from there on. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this day. Remarkable God, that you have handed down your story to the disciples and the apostles, and they have rightly and faithfully carried on and promulgated that story. And somehow, I don't understand it, it works in a sacramental way because there is joy in it. Joy oozes out of your big story. And unlike the despair that sharing bad news brings, sharing your story brings joy. May we be found faithful this week in telling your story. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about ancient future faith or worship with us at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.